I think it's obvious that I don't diet or exercise at all. And I know that I should. I know that I should, but I just... And I know that if I don't do something, it's not going to be pretty. The later on, the further on things get. And I know that I should diet, and I know that I should exercise. And there are a lot of reasons to do, both negative and positive. A negative reason why I should is because I don't want to have rigor mortis before I die. I don't want my arteries to clog up from all of the Hot Pockets or Cheese Whiz or whatever else that all the junk food that I put into my system, you know. I want to be able to bend my arms or, you know, at least some joints. And so definitely that's a negative reason why I should want to do something to make myself healthier. But also there's a lot of positive reasons why I should want to as well, because I want to live a painless life. Let's face it, I'm a big sissy. I don't like pain. And the healthier that you are, the healthier that you make yourself, obviously, the less pain that you're going to endure throughout life. And so, and we all understand this. We all understand that there are lots of different reasons why we should diet, and why we should exercise, and why we should take care of our physical health. And even though I don't do it, I've at least looked into it. And there are three steps that every dietitian, that every personal trainer is going to tell you that you need to follow in order to make yourself physically healthy. And the first step that anybody will ever... any dietitian, any personal trainer is going to tell you, anybody's going to tell you, is that you have to want it. You know, one of my favorite commercials over the last 10 years was that Arby's commercial with the oven mitt, how he's doing the sit-ups and how he hired a personal trainer to get him in shape. And the personal trainer is, throughout the commercial, is yelling at him, and he's yelling, "You got to want it," and definitely trying to get that across, that you got to want it. You got to actually want to have good physical health. The second step is that any dietitian will tell you, you got to cut out all the bad stuff. You got to, all that bad stuff, all the junk food, all the smoking, all the drinking, all the whatever else, you got to cut that stuff out, because that stuff's not going to help you any. You got to cut that stuff out. It's just going to hinder you. Also, the third thing, you got to actually do the work. You actually got to work out. You got to do the good things that you're supposed to be doing. And again, we all understand this. As strange as all of this is, that I'm talking about this right now is to introduce the subject, this is actually what I want us to talk about today. I want us to talk about, I don't mean talking about physical diet or physical exercise, but I mean talking about a spiritual diet and a spiritual exercise. I want us to talk about getting spiritually healthy. And the only way that we can get spiritually healthy is by two words, by doing one thing, by following Jesus. That's what those two words are. Follow Jesus. And that's what I want us to talk about today. I want us to talk about this spiritual idea, spiritual diet, and spiritual exercise. And I think we can see how to follow Jesus in Mark the 8th chapter. If you would, go ahead and turn over to Mark the 8th chapter. I have Mark the 9th chapter, and I don't know why. I have Mark the 8th chapter in verses 34 through 38. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark 8, and we'll spend the majority of our time there. And as I said, we're going to be talking about following Jesus today. And I definitely want to thank Brady for leading those songs about following Jesus and to prepare our minds for this study. So thank you for that. Well, in Mark the 8th chapter, we see in verses 27 through 33, we see that Peter makes this great confession of faith about Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And up until that point, Jesus was drawing as many people as he possibly could to himself, that he was drawing as many people as he could to him. And he said and did a lot of great things in order to prepare people for the coming kingdom of God. And here Peter proves that the observant follower could easily see who Jesus was. And from this point forward, you see Jesus doing a lot more teaching, a lot more getting down to the nitty-gritty, if you will, getting down to the harder sayings that he's going to teach. And he does a lot less miracles, because it is evidence now that he is the Christ, that he has the power from God. And let's go ahead and pick up our reading in verses 34 and let's read through 38. And as we read this, I want us to remember that up to this point, people were coming and going to Jesus as they pleased. But now, Jesus is asking for commitment from His followers. So let's go ahead and read Mark 8, verses 34 through 38. Starting in verse 34. When He had called the people to Himself, with the disciples also, He said to them, "Whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when He comes in glory, in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." Jesus gathers all of His followers together and He tells them three things that they need, and I would suggest that we need to do as well, in order to follow Him, in order to gain, to get spiritually healthy. And the first thing that He says is that you must desire it. The second thing that He says is you must deny yourself. And the third thing that He says is that you're going to actually have to follow Him. So let's look at each one of these three things and see what we can learn from ourselves and see how we can apply these things to our own lives. The first thing that He says is that we must desire to follow after Him. We must desire it. Jesus says, whoever desires to come after Me, let him do all these other things. Coming after Jesus, following Him, starts with the desire to do it. Then this may be the toughest thing that Jesus asks us to do, because it is definitely the most important. But luckily, there are plenty of good reasons to do it. So why is desiring so difficult? Why is desiring so difficult? Well, there are a lot of different reasons. We'll talk more about this in a little bit. But the first thing that we need to understand is that we're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to give up some things that we enjoy. And we're also going to have to start doing some other things that are tiresome. You know, if you don't go to bed tired every night, then you're not doing all that you should be doing. Or at least you're not doing enough. And like I said, we'll talk more about this later, but definitely, it is important that we, or it is difficult. It is easy to see that it is difficult to desire to do the work. But it's also important that we notice that it is important. Well, why is it important? Well, let me answer it this way. My sisters and I, growing up, we took piano lessons. And they enjoyed it and I didn't. And as a result, both of them are very accomplished pianists, and they like to play the piano. They can do it very well. I can't. And unfortunately, that is something that I regret. I regret not being able to sit down at the piano and be able to play something. And the way that my sisters do. And I regret not being able to be able to play the piano like I would want to. And the point is that you can't force someone to do something that they don't want to do. And even if they do it, the result is far less than their potential would allow them. And anyone who has ever dealt with children can understand this. You know, you tell a child to go clean their room. I got this a lot. My parents would tell me to go clean my room. And I would, there are three possible outcomes, and I would normally give them one of the two, or two of them. The first outcome would be that they go ahead and do it. They go ahead and do what their parents tell them to do, and they clean their room. And whoever's parents those are, they deserve a medal, because they're obviously doing something right to get their child to be able to obey like that. But this is the two things that I would often tell my parents is, well, no, I don't want to. And I would throw a little girly hissy fit about it. And then I would get a spanking, and then I would be forced to go ahead and do it. But when I would go and do it, I would normally just throw everything on my bed, throw a cover over top of it, and then go, okay, there, my room's clean. And, you know, that wouldn't work either. I'd get another spanking, and then I'd have to actually do it the right way. And we understand this. We definitely understand this, that you can't force someone to do a good job. You may be able to force them to do a halfway job, but you can't force someone to do a good job. And this is exactly why Jesus wants us to want to follow Him. Because if you don't want to, really, there isn't much point in following Him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, well, if you don't want to follow Him, you should just go ahead and get up and leave right now. No, I'm saying that you should want to follow Him. And we'll talk, because there are so many great reasons why we should want to follow Him. First off is because we can avoid some serious problems. You know, there are enough problems in this life without adding self-inflicted and easily avoidable, very easily avoidable problems already onto our problem-filled lives. You know, if we look at what God says about how a marriage should work, like He talks about in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, we can see, okay, if a husband is acting the way that he should, loving his wife the way that he should, like Christ loves the church, that's going to solve a lot of problems. If a wife is submitting to her husband and both of them are loving each other, as it says right there as well, then that's going to solve a lot of problems. That's going to avoid a lot of problems. Also, when you have parents who are being godly parents, teaching their children to and admonishing their children in the Lord so that when they are older, they will not depart from Him, then that's going to solve a lot of problems. That's going to avoid a lot of problems. And children, if you obey your parents, you know, I know you may not like to say things, I know you may not like to hear things like this, but they actually know what they're talking about a lot of times. They've met a lot of the same problems that you are facing right now. And whether they've made the wrong mistake or they've made the wrong decision, made a mistake, they've learned from that and they're trying to help you. And whether they made the right decision and they know it's the right decision, they're trying to help you. They have that experience. They have that knowledge. So you need to listen to them. And if they obey their parents as to the Lord, as it talks about in Ephesians 6, verse 5, you're going to avoid a lot of problems. Also, you're going to avoid a lot of problems, a lot of social problems. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21, we see the fruits of the works of the flesh. And look at those. Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Look at those and look how many things that we could avoid. Look how many problems we could avoid if we just don't do these things. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can avoid so many social problems, if you will, just by not doing those things, acting sexually pure and acting in a sober-minded way, not being filled with drunkenness, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. We can avoid so many of those problems. We can avoid financial problems. Paul tells the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, that we are to work. That is how we should provide for ourselves. That we should work. It's good that we work. And if we do work, that's going to avoid a huge financial problem. And if we follow what God says, we will absolutely, absolutely avoid the greatest problem that man will ever face, the problem of hell. In Revelation 20, verse 13 through 15, we can make sure that our names are not taken out of the book of life, that our names are firmly insured in the book of life. If we do what He says, we can avoid so many of these problems. We can avoid so many of these serious problems. But even more than that, there's a positive reason. There are a number of positive reasons. We can be truly happy in the Lord. If you would turn to Psalm 144 at the end of this great psalm, read with me verse 15, Psalm 144 verse 15. Psalm 144 and verse 15. So David says this. Happy are the people who are in such a state. The state that he's talking about is the state that the Lord preserves them, because those people are obedient and faithful and persevere through all the trials that this world has to offer. That person is happy, and happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Those people who are in the Lord. Those people who follow the Lord. Those people who obey the Lord. There's so many wonderful reasons that we can be happy in this life and in the life to come. That we can have our place in heaven. There's so many reasons why desiring it, why desiring to follow after Him. Yes, it's going to be difficult, but it's so important. It should be easy to see why it is so important and why it's so beneficial to us and why we should want to follow after Him. The second thing Jesus tells us to do, He tells us, getting back to our main text, is that after desiring to come after Him, He says to deny yourself. He says to deny yourself. And this is going to be difficult. Absolutely, this is going to be difficult, because we are a very selfish people in this nation. You know, there's a reason why the philosophy of it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Just go ahead and do what you say and then say I'm sorry afterwards. It's the reason why that idea is so popular. It's the reason why the philosophy of he who dies with the most toys wins is so popular. You see that on bumper stickers all over the place. There's a reason why that is. It's because we are so selfish. We don't like denying ourselves. Beck and I were talking about that this morning. I was talking about how I probably need to go on a diet. I've been thinking a little bit about this lately. But how I probably need to go out on a diet and start exercising, because my fat shirts are becoming my regular shirts. And I don't particularly like that. But we were talking about it this morning, how I want to do what's healthy for me, I don't necessarily want to cut out the foods that I eat because they taste good. But that's the point. That's the point. We don't like to deny ourselves things. You know, when somebody's trying to get healthy, like we just said, one of the things that they are supposed to do is to cut out all the junk food and cut the carbs, because those things are bad for you. And we're going to have to do this spiritually if we're going to follow Jesus. If you would, turn over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and read with me verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. The Hebrew writer says this: therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Notice what he says there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice what it says there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Anything that's going to get in our way of following Jesus, we need to just get rid of it. We just need to put it all the way aside. We need to totally forget about it. So what must one do in order to follow Jesus? What must one deny themselves in order to follow Jesus? And oddly enough, this question is asked a couple of times, or three times, during Scripture. In John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 21. John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 21. Jesus is approached by Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus by night. And here in John, the third chapter, Jesus explains to Nicodemus that the way he's always thought about things is going to have to change. Jesus tells him that unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus goes, well, I'm old. How can I be born again? He was concerned about the physical. And what Jesus is saying is you're going to have to change the way that you think about things. You're going to have to change the way that you think about things and that you can't think about the physical things anymore. You know, you got to get your mind off of the physical temple and you got to get your mind off of the physical priesthood. And you've got to get your mind off of the physical, everything else that is physical in this world and start focusing on the spiritual things of this world. And we've got to do the same if we're going to deny ourselves. There's a good chance that we either have already done it or are going to have to deny ourselves some of the ways that we have always thought about things. You know, that some people, unfortunately, still to this day think that the church is this building that we're in. No, the church is the people. And we're going to have to, if you believe that, you're going to have to change the way that you think about that. That the people here, the church is of Christ, is the bride of Christ, is the people, is all the different members, the saints that make up the body of Christ, of which Christ is the spiritual head. We're going to have to change the way we think about a lot of different things. We're going to have to change the way we think about physical things and look at them in a spiritual light, especially when it comes to things in the Bible. Another person who asked this question is the rich young ruler in Mark the 10th chapter. In Mark the 10th chapter, in verses 17 through 22, he comes to Jesus and Jesus told him to follow all the commandments of the old law. And when that man said that he had, Jesus told him to go and to sell everything that he had and to give it to the poor. Jesus said that he had to get rid of his stuff. Now, I don't think that there's anything wrong with having stuff, but it's obvious from the way this young man went away that he was sorry because he had a lot of things, because he was very wealthy. I think it's obvious that this person was focused on this life. We have to uproot those nails. We have to take up those nails that are holding us down to this world. We have to understand that the things in this life, our cars, our houses, or whatever physical things that we're really attached to, really don't matter that much. That the activities that we enjoy so much, really in the long run, don't really matter that much. What matters is serving God. What matters is getting rid of all of that stuff, denying ourselves of things that we might want, and doing the things that Jesus wants us to do. Jesus says that, and we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to get rid of all that stuff in order to follow Jesus. All of those things that may not be bad in and of themselves, but if they get in our way, if they become an idol to us, absolutely we need to deny ourselves those things. Get rid of those things out of our lives. Cut those things out of our lives so we can follow Jesus. And also on the day of Pentecost, in Acts the 2nd chapter, Peter is talking to the people, and they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says, you need to repent. Peter tells them that they need to repent from their sins. They need to give up their sins, and we must repent if we are to follow Jesus as well. We must give up our sins. And it is so hard because, you know, sin, at least at that time, may get us out of a little trouble, may make us feel okay for a little while. And we try and justify those things, but we have to give those things up. We have to repent from our sins and repent to God. We have to give up those sexual sins or those sins of abuse. We have to give up those sins of omission as well. We have to give up all of those sins in order to follow Him. You can clearly see that we're going to have to give up a lot of things. Put those things to death on the cross that we've taken up in order to follow Him. And that does make it difficult. But it must be done. Absolutely, it must be done. And finally, the last thing Jesus tells us that we must do in order to follow Him is that we must actually follow Him. We must take up our cross and follow Him. This may sound extremely simplistic, but if you want to follow after Jesus, you need to follow Him. You need to do the things that will encourage you, that will actually prove that you are following Him. And this means two things. Following requires action on our part, because you can't follow someone like Jesus by doing nothing. You know, it wasn't enough for those people to just come to Jesus. It wasn't enough for people just to want to come to Jesus. It wasn't enough for people just to come to Jesus. They had to keep following after Jesus in His footsteps. You know something? I can say that I'm a part of the U.S. military, but if I don't join up, I mean, that's not going to do anything. I mean, that may make a couple of big burly guys with guns angry at me, but you know, just because I say I've done something doesn't mean that I've actually done it. Again, anybody with children, anybody who's dealt with children, know that if they say something, that they've done something, doesn't necessarily mean that they've done it. If I don't actually follow Jesus, if we don't actually follow Jesus, it doesn't matter what we've done up to that point. It doesn't matter if I say I'm following Jesus. We must actually follow Him. And it's important also that we recognize that Jesus is the one that we should follow. Jesus says that you can't follow two masters. In Matthew the 6th chapter, on the Sermon on the Mount, notice what Jesus says in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have two masters. And Jesus, if we can only follow one master, Jesus needs to be the one master that we follow. You know, we don't need to follow after a preacher or a pastor or a denomination. We need to follow after Jesus, what He has told us in the Bible. We need to follow just Jesus, because that is all we have time to follow. Following Him means that we're going to have to walk in His footsteps. This is going to require us to read and study and meditate on God's Word more and more every day to know exactly what steps Jesus took, where He went, how He acted in His life. We're going to need to study more and more every single day. We're going to need to pray more and more, just like Jesus did every single day. Pray without ceasing. Take time out of our busy schedules to go up on a mountain and pray to God all night. We need to be able to do that. It's going to require us to live a more godly life, more like Jesus, because He is the one who is living in us, supposedly, if we are Christians. That it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. We need to let that show through. We need to actually be able to say, look at my life. It's not really my life. I'm letting Jesus live through me. That is how we need to act. And this is the only way we are going to be able to follow Him. And again, Jesus needs to be the only one that we follow, because of who He is. First and foremost, is because He is God, the Son of God. In John 3, verse 16, in a passage that we just looked at a moment ago, John 3:16, Jesus says of Himself that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, speaking of Himself, that He is God in the flesh, which is exactly what John 1, verse 1 and verse 14 tells us, that He is God in the flesh. And even more than that, He is the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9, look how many times Lord comes up in reference to Jesus. He is the only Savior. In Acts, the 4th chapter, look what the apostles say of Jesus as they are on trial. In Acts, the 4th chapter, in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. Absolutely, we must walk in His footsteps. And He is the Christian's advocate. He will be the Christian's advocate in the day of judgment. In 1 John, the second chapter, notice what John says about Jesus. 1 John, the second chapter, in verse 1. John says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous." We have an advocate. Christ is that advocate who will advocate for us on the day of judgment. That will say, "I know he did these sins, but they're washed away. He's one of ours. Let's let him into heaven." Because of all of this, and so much more, He is the only one whom we should follow. Absolutely, it's important that we understand that. Well, thank you for participating with me in this study this morning. So go ahead and pull out your song books and get ready for the invitation song. The invitation song is, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." What a wonderful invitation song that is, especially for this lesson. And I hope that you have decided to follow Jesus. Not just if you're already a Christian, but if you want to become a Christian. If you want to follow after Him. If you want to enjoy all of the blessings. Avoid all of the problems that this world's going to throw, that we can easily avoid by following after Him. It's so wonderful that you can decide to follow after Jesus. That He gives us that option. That He allows us to follow after Him. Make that decision this morning. Because of what Mark 8 verse 36 says. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul?" There is no profit in this world. There's nothing that's worth it in this world. The only thing that has any value is following after Him. So that in that last day, we can receive the crown of life that is waiting for those who faithfully follow Him. Why not decide to follow Jesus even right now as we stand and as we sing?